let's talk about the repertoire you've chosen for these last few weeks. Yeah. You're not going out easy.
Well, you know, I don't think it was premeditated. It was just a normal season for me in terms of, you know, I like to have a great variety of programs, and I was a bit frustrated these years here because of the financial situations. All the programs were cut in the sense that all the interest in coming up with new pieces and things, we had to be careful because of the sales, you know, and this always the same, you know, you hear that all the time. But we do Elektra, of course. Elektra is one of my favorite operas. I always had a great attirance, as you said. I was attracted by this music.
Affinity. But you're not a conductor we associate with opera to the same extent
because
as others.
Because you're a victim of images, you know, and what the people say, what the press writes.
Okay, so fix that
Don't
for me.
Don't be a victim.
I'm a victim, tell me.
Of those things. Yeah. No, I've done a lot of Strauss, and this one is the most difficult.
Impossible to cast.
Yeah, but we have a great cast here. I cross my fingers that they won't be sick or anything because it's a fantastic cast. It's going to be an event.
So why pick this one?
Because, first of all, it fits in a concert evening. It's a 1 hour and 45 minutes, you know. Whereas if you play any other opera, you have two intermissions or one intermission and so on. So it's very difficult. And frankly, it's interesting to play Elektra with the original number of musicians on stage, because usually it's cut in the pit.
Sure.
No pit can accommodate such a large orchestra, you see. So that's it. And, well, I hope it's going to go well, because I realize, you know, frankly, it's a lot of work. Even if you know the piece, and I've known and I've worked on it for years, you know, each time I do that, it takes another 3, 4, or 5 months to work on the piece again. It's very, very, very difficult.
You've mentioned earlier on that the last 3 years, and they have been a difficult period in this orchestra's history. How would you like to be remembered for your contribution to the orchestra?
Well, it's hard to answer that. I must say these years have been very hard for the orchestra, for everyone, you know, whether it's the administration. But the one who have suffered are the musicians the most. And it has been very difficult for me to maintain the quality of the orchestra. I mean, and I hope I have succeeded at least to maintain that, and also to have the morale, because I didn't have the morale. You know, I was going through a period like that at this stage of my life is not what I expected to meet here. You know,
and was it more difficult because you didn't have the title of music director?
Yeah, the title of music director would have solved a few things in terms of responsibility towards the musicians and the board and so on.
You mean hiring and firing, or more than that?
No, well, this is one of the details. No, but I mean the authority of a counterweight, because in a period as difficult as this one, I think the orchestra should have had someone with some power in his hand, not like a dictator, you know, just to have someone, you know, a counterweight. I don't know the word.
No, I understand, but they did trust you and they did respect you and they followed you. They really did sound great. They sounded.
Listen, I'm not talking about the musicians.
Yeah.
Because the musicians, I have no problem, never had any problem with them at all. We always had a good relationship. Imagine I made my debut in July 1980, that is 32 years ago. And I've worked for 20 years in Saratoga, just there, doing 10 programs in 17 days. You know, I mean, no, first of all, there's no orchestra that can do that except this one. And the combination, also, they think that I was helpful in doing this because I can work quickly and they trust me, you see. So that was, with the orchestra, I've always had a great relationship. So I'm not talking about that. It's just the whole atmosphere with bankruptcy and the lack of publicity and the lack of things, you know, the decline of people in the hall, probably due to precisely to the lack of image. You know, there was no image. It was just absent. totally pale. There's no event, nothing.
But I think that people will look back on your tenure here with gratitude.
Well, maybe, but it's not my me, you know, how I feel. I don't mean to have an image for the posterity. I don't care about that. It's not that.
It's what
the way what I have done, the way I felt, you see, during these years. And I didn't really feel good, frankly. You know, when I heard that the orchestra was bankrupt, I was in California, I just couldn't believe it. It's not a word that we use so lightly in Europe. Bankruptcy in Europe means
the end of the road.
Yeah. You know, when you're down. Well, here you have chapter 11, which is reorganization. I didn't know that. And you have chapter, 7 or whatever, another chapter, which is more sort of serious. But, you know, I was completely appalled to hear that. And I've not really been informed properly during all this time. I was not prepared to all that. So I suffered a lot and I was very unhappy.
You made the orchestra sound good.
Yeah. No, because we are professionals, you know. I mean,
no, there was more than that.
Well, you know, of course, when I saw these guys, you know, like this, I had to shake them up a little bit and make them work. Even today, you know, we worked on this Strauss opera that they don't know. And the rehearsal yesterday was, we were reading, and it was very hard. They didn't realize that it was so hard, you see. But you know what happened? They took the music, and they started to work, and today was completely different, and it's going to be great. So this is why this part of the story is good. Yes.
You have a particular version of the Philadelphia Orchestra sound. I would say it's more polarized. It's more crystal, more clear, more vivid than maybe has been traditional. It's still Philadelphia, but it's Philadelphia under Charles Dutoit. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
I don't know. You see,
how do you hear the orchestra when you're conducting them? What are you looking for? What do you want from them that you don't? That's different from what you want from a London orchestra or a Montreal orchestra or a Tokyo orchestra.
It's the same thing. It's a mixture of preserving qualities that the orchestra has had. You know, it's a mystery how they still talk about this because there are so many few musicians. I mean, there are only less than, I think, 10 musicians who played with me in 1980 here. So the rest are all new. And they have to be integrated into what they call the Philadelphia sound and the Philadelphia tradition.
Is it still there?
I don't really know what it is, in fact.
Well, it's lush, pulling the music out rather than pushing it out.
Yeah.
In the strings.
You see, the sound is created by the conductor. In fact, I read somewhere that Ormandy said, the Philadelphia sound, it's my sound, you know, or something like that, and could have said the same to Ostakovsky. A conductor has a big influence on the sound of an orchestra, but in order to have this influence, he has to feel this sound inside. And secondly, of course, something which helps enormously is a conductor who plays a string instrument. Because after all, you know, 60% or 65% of the orchestra play a string instrument. And to know how one plays an instrument, or if you are not in a string instrument yourself, you can have this knowledge. But the application, you see, when you look at the violins and they know exactly what you mean, you don't have to talk. In fact, you can ask the musicians, most of the conductors who are not string players talk about bowing. The ones who are string players, they just, you know, of course, sometimes you have to correct things, but I mean, it's just a question of, you know, understanding, you know, just a... So the Philadelphia sound is something which is, comes from... You know, the orchestra I worked with in 1980, I know that, how they played, and even before when I heard them in Europe.
And can they still sound the same now? With you in front of them, can you make them sound the way you wanted to make them sound in 1980?
Yeah, but you know, there are so many young people that it's difficult. There is a collective memory which is hard to explain. But frankly, someone who arrives from Korea or from Kazakhstan, you know, comes here. You know, he has heard about the sound of the orchestra, And so, you know, he doesn't know how to produce it, you see. So he will sit there, but it happens that about 10 musicians around him are new too. You know, so on. And this is really basically the string sound, because the winds, they are fantastic mm-hmm. soloists, but I would not say that...
That's not the Philadelphia school.
What you call the Philadelphia sound.
Well, the percussion as well and the brass, though, a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's the blend, you know, the thing. It's also, when we play in Carnegie Hall, obviously it's nicer than in here, because the hall is more, it sounds better for the orchestra. It's more natural, you know.
Has the sound of this hall, have you noticed any change in the sound of this hall recently?
It's a little warmer.
It's a little warmer.
It's obviously has improved recently. It used to be very cold and distant. And not only that, I always had the impression that the musicians could not hear each other well.
No.
So for the ensemble, talking about what we talked about before, it was a big problem because, they are far apart, you see. And, you know, I keep the violins together, but some of my colleagues like to have this German way of putting the second violins on the right side. And so it comes also from the pit in the opera because you have more space. But I don't know how the last stand of second violins playing in thirds with the last stand of the first violin 25 meters away, if it's not more, can play together. They don't hear each other.
They don't hear each other.
Yeah. So this is how it is. It's a very complex profession, as you see.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.